Now, legislation to help survivors of Irish mother and baby homes who are now living in the UK to get access to compensation is being introduced in the House of Commons. There are concerns that survivors aren't claiming the redress they're entitled to because they risk losing out on means-tested benefits. Patricia Carey is the Special Advocate for Survivors of Institutional Abuse, and she's with us in studio. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good afternoon.
As you understand it, what has been the main problem in Britain?
Well, I suppose the biggest problem is that people are afraid to make an application in case it is going to affect other means-tested benefits. And we're seeking an indefinite capital disregard so that those people in the United Kingdom who are eligible for mother and baby redress can apply for it, can receive it. And remembering that the benefits are quite small, we could be talking between 15 and 25,000. There's an added complication that those living overseas receive 3,000 euro in lieu of receiving a medical card that Irish applicants receive. So that pushes up the redress slightly more. And lots of people have said, if I receive that lump sum, so to speak, I might lose or will lose my housing benefit, my medical support payment. And therefore, they're making a decision not to apply or to delay in applying, which is even more worrying because we know of the ageing population of many of those who are eligible.
Should this issue have been anticipated?
Well, look, I mean, I know that there has been significant work going on in the background since before the scheme and when the scheme was being developed. It is disappointing that it, you know, we're now a year into the scheme and we have applicants who are very elderly who are delaying applying. We've also worryingly received information from applicants in the United States who said that on receipt of their redress that their Medicare payments were stopped. So that's an ancillary issue, but I do think that just the agile and strategic thinking around this redress is really important. Other schemes have been disregarded, like the Windrush and Manchester bombings, London 7-7. So I think that there is a way there to do it, and I really welcome the MP's legislation. And I also welcome the fact that it's called Philomena's Law. I think that's very...
This is after Philomena Lee.
Absolutely. I mean, what a wonderful woman and a testament to the work that she did. That is not to say that people shouldn't make an application. And I'm concerned that this is a 5-year scheme and that at this point in time, we've had just over 6,000 applicants. So we need people who are currently eligible to apply. I do hope in the future the eligibility will extend to those who are currently excluded. But I think it's very important that eligible people apply and that they are not affected in their other life, you know, financial situations from receiving redress that they were entitled to.
Mm-hmm. As you say, you and others have expressed concern that the overall take up of the redress scheme so far is relatively low. Now, we've just received a statement from the department in relation to the mother and baby payment scheme. Just looking at this here, it says, while the department projected higher upfront applicant numbers in 2024, the scheme is open for 5 years, so there is plenty of time for potential applicants to apply. They say it's difficult to predict at what stage across its 5-year lifetime applicants will apply, although we do know that in some previous redress schemes, significant numbers of application were made towards the closing date. Mm. So are you hopeful then that more people will come forward and get what they're entitled
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. And I think that is the key message, that people should make an application. But if we look at the example of the Residential Institutions Redress scheme, we meet people every day who are not aware of that scheme. So it is absolutely critical, and not just people outside Ireland, but people in Ireland who are either incapacitated, psychologically unaware, or not in a position to apply due to trauma. So I accept what the department is saying, that it's a 5-year scheme, but we know from the other schemes that were open that people missed out on payments, they missed out on redress, and in some instances it could have been life-changing, or it could have been just a small amount of money to make their life easier. So I would personally encourage people to apply, but I would also be very cognizant of the exclusions that are there.
You told us before that despite changes to the law, survivors of mother and baby homes are still having difficulty getting access to personal records and to information. Does that remain a problem?
The passage of the records legislation in October last year made it a criminal offence for private or religious institutions to remove records from the state or to destroy them. So that is a really critical first step. The next step is for the state to take in charge all records, particularly in religious congregations. I've said time and time again, there is absolutely no reason why religious or a private institution should hold records related to an individual's life or related to the institutional infrastructure at the time. These are records belonging to individuals and they should be in state ownership and should be open fully to the individuals.
Patricia Carey, Special Advocate for Survivors of Institutional Abuse. Thank you for being with us on the News at One. We'll be back with more when we'll be returning to Washington after a quick break.